season. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Let's bring in Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre. IMac, we are looking at a potential breakup between the Canucks and Chris Tanev, and it naturally migrated to a conversation of the greatest or saddest breakups in TV history. Do you have a thought on that conversation?
Let me think. Saddest breakups in TV history. Well, you know, when Sonny and Cher split, that was devastating. You guys don't even know who they are. But I'll say
that. Your
parents
told me about them.
How about this, since you, I've been blindsided. Not that you guys haven't done it before. But as far as breakups, I do remember a fantastic television moment with Sonny and Cher on the David Letterman show, where, do you know who David Letterman is?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
So Letterman had on, God, I can't even remember whether Cher must have been his guest, because why would anyone have Sonny Bono on their show as a guest? Anyways, so Cher was a guest, and Letterman brought out Sonny, and Cher didn't know that Sonny was coming, and he had them sing, "I Got You, Babe." And I'm sure it was the first time in 20 years they'd sang it, and probably the last time they sang it. And so it was a good TV moment as far as relationships go.
So I'm at,
give me some of the ones you're talking about so I can at least get on the right track. Like, who are you talking about television breakups?
Well, we're talking about, like, a lot of 90s sitcoms, right? Ross and Rachel, of course. That one hit hard. Ask your kids.
Didn't everybody on Friends eventually date everybody?
Pretty much, yes.
Except the brother and sister.
Yes, that is accurate. Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski.
Okay. Next.
Corey and Topanga.
Corey and Topanga. What show is that?
Boy Meets World.
Okay.
I got one for you. How about The Wonder Years with what's his name? I forget. Kevin and Winnie.
Yeah, or how about the 70s show?
That 70s
there
show,
you go.
Yeah. What about Cheers, Sam and Diane?
Yeah, but nobody liked Sam and Diane together. So that was, everyone was elated. Sam got rid of Diane.
All right, so to bring this back full circle and bring it back to the conversation our listeners actually want to hear about, and that's Chris Tanev. It's kind of just the reaction to a report out of The Athletic Pittsburgh today that Jim Rutherford might be willing to go down a 5-year range with Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Which
isn't Pittsburgh habitually in cap trouble?
Yes. Somehow,
no, I'm being more or less serious here, because I haven't. I saw the story. These stories find us now. We don't have to go look for them. But I saw the story. I haven't gone and looked at their cap, but they do seem to be a team that's constantly trying to move players off. You know, they've got the huge ticket guys, and there never seems to be wriggle room for them on anything. So, I mean, if Chris Tanev is a fantastic guy, and he's a good player, and is still a good player. If Wade Arnott can find somebody to give Chris Tanev 5 years, I'd feel great for Chris Tanev. But that won't happen in Vancouver. And so if he's 30 years old, if he needs the security, I mean, and Pittsburgh's willing to give that to him, and he gets to potentially finish his career playing with his brother, that's great. I'd be happy for Chris Tanev because he's worked his ass off every day of his professional career. He's sacrificed himself physically, I would argue, as much as any player has for his team. And if that earns him a 4 or 5 year deal from somebody, I think that's great. But that, I don't think there's many players at any age who are going to be getting 4 or 5 year deals, not at significant dollars in this off season. So I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. I would be shocked though if he ended up with that kind of a contract with the Vancouver Canucks, because I just don't think that's on for him here.
Yeah, you'll probably have to give up on one of those things because overall, you know, if players are looking for more term, there may be a slightly lesser dollar value. I guess we'll see when free agency pops up and if Chris Tanev actually hits free agency in that regard. But, you know, if he does, you know, there's the idea of you have to upgrade the defense. You have to get better.
Yeah.
If Chris Tanev is not a Vancouver Canuck, how aggressive would you, you know, predict the Vancouver Canucks to be in free agency or the trade route? Or is upgrading from within the organization or at least promoting from within realistic in your eyes? Or do you have to be aggressive?
I think both. I think both, Randy, because they will promote from within. I'll say it right now that there will be at least one, maybe two defensemen from their system, and whether that's Ulevi, whether it's Rafferty, whether Jack Rathbone has a great camp whenever the Canucks get around to having another NHL training camp and makes the team. They have prospects who are pushing, and we saw in the summer with Ulevi and Rafferty and Chatfield, although I don't think the ceiling's as high on Chatfield. We saw that these guys really impressed Benning and Green at summer camp and basically dislodged Sontner and Brisebois as sort of the fourth pairing, if you will. And so somebody's going to be ready to play on the third pairing, and frankly, the Canucks need that. They not only need that infusion of young talent and the potential to develop guys into significant NHL players, they also need guys on entry-level contracts. And so that's going to help them, and that will help their third pair. But that doesn't mean that the top four is all rosy, because we know it's not. And if Tanev doesn't re-sign, then they definitely have to be aggressive and find a replacement. But I think this is going to be a buyer's market unprecedented in league history, and I mean that literally. And of course it's unprecedented because we're in an unprecedented time. You know, the NHL has never had a period of deflation like they're looking at right now, and because the cap is tied to that, we know it's going to have an effect on money available for players. And I think it's awfully naive of anybody, whether it be management re-signing their own guys, whether it be free agents and their agents, you know, looking for new... It's ridiculous to think that it's going to be business like it's always been. Yes, there's going to be contracts that, you know, you wonder about, just like the Edmondson contract in Montreal last week. But it's not going to be business as usual. And I think that if you, for instance, if you're the Canucks and you've set aside, budgeted whatever number of dollars it would take to re-sign Chris Tanev, and let's just for argument's sake say they're willing to do a couple of years at something close to what he was making. And I don't even know that it's that. But let's, just for argument's sake, for the exercise, say now they've got $4 million a year to spend on a defenseman for the next couple of years if Chris Tanev isn't back. Well, $4 million in 2020 pandemic dollars, that's a lot more than $4 million was last year, and it might be more than $4 million is worth next year in terms of real salary. You would be able to, I think, have a lot of options to go and get players on a shorter-term deal. Not necessarily talking about the top UFAs, but there will be guys available. There's going to be a pile of guys, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think there's going to be a pile of guys who are made free agents because teams don't want to qualify them because they're worried about what they might cost if they go to arbitration, or they've already decided that the players, they're not worth their role to those teams isn't worth what it's going to cost them even to retain their rights. I just think there's going to be a lot of choices out there if you have a little bit of money to spend. The question is, do you have money to spend? And as we've said all along, and this might be the longest answer I've ever given, because are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, excellent. As we've said all along, everything in Vancouver starts at the top, and then it trickles down. So once they know if they're going to have Markstrom back, once they know what it would cost them to have Toffoli, then they'll know how much is left for Chris Tanev and beyond. And there are guys beyond that. You know, Jake Virtanen and Troy Stetcher and Josh Levo's kind of the quietest UFA that the Canucks have had in years, who seemed important to them, you know, based on how he played before he got hurt. So, you know, what's going to happen, I don't know. I just think that this offseason is going to be unlike the rest. And every dollar counts. Every dollar comparatively is going to be worth more in this economy. And I think teams have to be careful. They have to be careful. And especially the Canucks, because we know what's coming next year, you know, with new deals needed for Hughes and Pettersson. And how about this? And I know 3 years seems a long way away, especially with the year that we've had in 2020 and all the changes and all the things that have been unforeseen. Who knows what things will be like in 3 years. But in 3 years, not only are they going to be early on in what could be very long, very expensive contracts for Pettersson and Hughes, but they're going to need to re-sign Bo Horvat. And probably, I think they'll want to re-sign JT Miller. And at that time, you know, even players like Pod Colson and Hoglander, if they turn out to be really good, are going to be getting near the end or at the end of their entry-level deals. So you have to be careful if you're the Canucks about committing term to anybody right now. And the end. I think that was about 5.5 minutes of oratory.
You know what? I had enough time to go and make a spro. It was great.
Watched a couple of episodes of Friends.
Exactly. I watched the entirety of Ross and Rachel breaking up again. But I do find it funny. You mentioned that, and Alex Pietrangelo is you know, not getting the number he wants from St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet here's Tanev and Markstrom, and they're apparently getting the biggest deals on the market. Tanev getting a 5-year deal, and apparently Markstrom getting over $6 million from Detroit. As you know, rumor season is out and about. It does feel and like you know Jim Benning is facing an even bigger competition for Jacob Markstrom than maybe we had expected.
Yeah, I don't know what they projected the competition to be, but I think Markstrom, he was always in a little bit of a different category because you can argue that he is the best available at his position. And we you know, there's always going to be teams that want a goalie and are willing to pay to an extent. So you know, would the Canucks be surprised? I don't think they'd be surprised if Jacob chooses to sign somewhere else. I think there's always been and will be and should be a limit to what teams are willing to spend, and we don't know what that limit is. I mean, it would be a big blow to them if Jacob Markstrom isn't back. He was their best player and most valuable player this season. But they've always... whatever scenario they've mapped out, however they frame their negotiations, they've always done it with the context that if they don't have Jacob Markstrom, well, they have Thatcher Demko. And that's okay as plan B. Thatcher Demko's, in my opinion, he's not ready to be a starter yet, but he's an outstanding prospect who just had a really solid first year, you know, did nothing to dissuade the idea that he could be a future starter in the NHL, and then of course you know had that amazing week in Edmonton in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the Canucks have always, I think, had their eyes open that Markstrom could go. If you're Jacob Markstrom, you want to go play for Detroit. I mean, you have a Canuck team. He loves Vancouver, loves his team here. They have a chance to challenge for the Stanley Cup for the next bunch of years. So are you going to go and play for Detroit? Maybe. Maybe. If they're the only ones offering you the most money that you can get. But I haven't had the sense from Jacob Markstrom that he's looking to make the most money he can get. Doesn't mean he's going to give, you know, an unreasonable discount to stay. And nor should people think that players would do that. You know, this is their career. They earn the leverage that they have. And right now, Jacob Markstrom has some leverage. But I think the Canucks have always known that he might not be back. Just like they've always known that maybe Tyler Toffoli doesn't want to play here. But I think Toffoli does. I think Markstrom does too. I just think Toffoli isn't going to have the number of teams chasing him at the same number of dollars as maybe what Markstrom would have.
Ian, we're all about calming the masses here on Reach Deep. We never try to get people too excited in the sense that, you know, induce panic or anything. But, but
thank goodness. I'm glad somebody's trying to quiet the mob.
Absolutely. But
I was wondering who that was. Now I know. It's you guys.
It's definitely us. But
yes,
at some
voices
point,
in the wilderness.
We have to take out the worryometer at some point. At what point do you start worrying about guys not signing? October 9th is not that far away.
Yeah, well, I don't worry about it, because if they don't sign, then you move on. And again, if they didn't have Demko, then it's a different conversation about Jacob Markstrom potentially leaving. And again, just so people are clear, they're not interchangeable. You can't just let Jacob Markstrom go and you have Demko and you don't miss a beat. That's not the case. Demko is a really good young goalie who presumably is going to continue to get better. And so I don't really worry about that. I hope that Markstrom's back. I don't think it's a deal killer for the Canucks. If he's not, it certainly complicates things, because then they have to go find an experienced kind of 1A or 1B to play alongside Demko. But you still have Demko. And then Toffoli would be disappointing if he's not back. But if you have the money for Toffoli, then you have, or to try and have Toffoli, then you have that money to pay others or somebody else if he's not back. So, you know, if once guys actually get to market, then certainly there's the risk of them leaving goes up exponentially. It just doesn't. You don't see it very often, especially among key players on your team, that if you don't have them signed by July 1st, which is now October 9th, generally they don't go and test the market and come back and sign with you. You can do that with players lower in the lineup. You know, let them go see what's out there, depending on what the understanding is, how you leave off negotiations. Leave open the door for them to come back. They decide to come back a few days or a week into training camp, or sorry, into free agency. That typically doesn't happen with the top players. So as far as, you know, the point where you realize that they maybe aren't coming back, well, obviously if it's October 9th and they're not re-signed, they're probably not coming back. But you still have options. You still have and money to spend on others, and you just better make sure you go and get the right goalie to assist Thatcher Demko next season.
Fonzie and Ashley, was that a tough
no,
breakup?
No, no,
no,
okay. No.
Sorry.
Now you're talking happy days. It's the 70s, man.
You lost all credibility.
I honestly Googled, you know, big TV breakups of the 70s, so.
How about Hawkeye Pierce and Trapper John McIntyre?
Okay.
Or BJ Honeycutt. It broke my heart when the doctors on MASH broke up because they were so good together. But guys serve their duty. They get to go home.
That's true. MASH is a great one. iMac, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
See you guys. Now it's going to bug me, and I'm going to be thinking probably until I'm on next week, if you have me back, about television breakups.
I'm sure Dom is already going to book in that time slot for next week.
You know what would really break my heart is if you guys broke up. You complete each other.
Thank you, iMac. Randeep has never had such a great compliment. Thank you. It is.
All right, let's get iMac off air before he drops another thing like that.